has are there. But when he gets to this world, he suddenly sees, oh, thank God that I have all those physical elements that I have in me, which wasn't clear to him in the first stage why he has them. When he came to this world, it was clear to him. So too with this world and the next world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the neshama. And the neshama has a need to connect to something high. That's not clear to us in this world why we need that. If our need was just to take care of ourselves physically in this world, then actually the neshama gets in our way. It gives us desire for things beyond what we basically physically need, which harms us in a way, if there wouldn't be a further goal. Just like the baby in the womb, it's not clear to the baby in the womb why it has all those parts. But when we get to the next world, then it becomes clear to us why we develop that, because that's what enables us to have the fulfillment of the next world. As we build ourselves in this world spiritually, we get to the next world and we're able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu spiritually. The neshama is able to have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of all the work that we did here in this world. He gives a mashal. Kol shekein, that the neshama doesn't find nachas ruach b'chol inugei ha'olam. The neshama doesn't find pleasure from the benefits of this world. V'hu ma shelimdenu chazal b'koheles, gam ha'nefesh lo timale. In Koheles, the pasuk writes, the soul isn't filled. There was a man from a small town, a backwards town, a little village, who married the princess, the daughter of the king. Even if he gives her everything that's in the world, in this case it means in his world, right, he gives her the best of what he has. Right, so it wasn't regular hay, but it was polished hay. You know, it wasn't like Lahavdol Elev Avdalos, but it wasn't a used needle, it was a brand new needle. Like, he gave her, from his perspective, the best of what he could give. The Pseder, but in your terms, with the best of the best, is something which in her terms is disgusting. And she wouldn't be interested in eating it at all, or relating to it at all. Einem chashuvim la klum, shehi bat melech. She's in a different league. And those things which for him are of value, for him are like, I'm going to give you the best of the best. And he's taking her out to like a very cheap place or showing her a movie which is like very like not in her league, and the type of food that for him is luxury, for her makes her vomit. Like, they're just not in the same league at all. So it's not appreciated. Kacha nefesh ilu heveta lakol ma'adanei ha'olam. So however many wafers that you give the neshama, it just doesn't really resolve the neshama's need to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says like, okay, one wafer was enough, have six wafers. But no, even that didn't help connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a different league. Einam klum la, lama, shehi mina elyonim. She's from a different league. That what answers the neshama's need is a different need. It's a different currency. It's not going to work. Sometimes a person tries something and it doesn't work. So they say, I'll try harder. But sometimes trying harder is not the right answer if it's the wrong method that's being used. There was once a fly that was trying to get out of the room. And it was going towards the window. Boom! Crash. It says, okay, I'll try further. And the fly, instead of starting from where it started from, went all the way back to the wall. And you could hear the bzzz revving up. Bzzz, zoo, and it went there, and it eventually died by the window. And there was an open door. There was an open door. Why didn't it just go out the open door? Sometimes trying harder is not the right solution. Trying harder actually makes it worse. You have to try differently. So when we're trying to find a spiritual way to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu, or even taking out the word spiritual for a minute, if we're trying to find a satisfaction in looking for meaning in our lives, which is something which, you know, even without religion, is a universal thing that people are looking for, trying to find, like, what's my purpose in life, what's my role in life, what gives me meaning in life. So however many novels they read, and however many movies they watch, and however much drinks they drink, and however much holidays, vacations they go on, it's only going to, like, distract them while they're involved in it. But then once whatever it is in the physical world they're doing ends, it's going to end. Because the pleasures of the physical world are from the physical world, and therefore they end. They're only temporary. They're not a long-term pleasure. So then people look for more exciting movies and more interesting novels and more exotic vacations and more fancy restaurants. And it lasts, you know, for those couple of minutes that they're thinking about going. And then when they started, they realized it wasn't what they were hoping it would be. And then in the middle of the way, they're kind of fed up of it. But they have to finish because they paid a lot. And they feel like silly, like not finishing it because they paid so much money for it. And then they realize, okay, what's next? And they have to look for something bigger and greater. Because the pleasures of the physical world will never resolve the neshama's need. It's a different currency. It's a different language. It's a different league. That's what Chazal tells us. Al korcha ata notzar, ועל כוחך אתה נולד. What are those two different stages? Al kochacha atonotzar is referring to the neshama that comes down into the body. Al kochacha atonolad is referring to the physical element of the world. There are two creations that man has. There's a spiritual creation that man has, which the neshama comes down into the world, which is against the neshama's will initially. And al kochacha atonolad, you're born. It's not your control. You don't control many things in your life. You don't control who your family are. You don't control which environment you're raised up in, which culture you're raised up in. You don't control many physical parts of like your body that you're placed in. You control is your choice of how to find meaning in life. Like, what's going to give you satisfaction? What's going to give you meaning? Is it going to be physical things or is it going to be spiritual things? Broadly, are you going to be looking for the answer in the physical world, or are you going to be looking for the answer in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's where you have free choice. But the fact that neshama came down, the fact that you were born, that's not in your control. Ki ein neshama oheves olam hazeh klal. So on the first point, HaKocha Ha'atan Otzar, the neshama doesn't have an interest in being born. Adarava, mo'eset bo. From the neshama's perspective, it's terrible. It's being placed in a place which is very difficult for the neshama. The neshama was in a place where it was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was sent on a shlichut, shlichus, from the Rebbe. It was sent out from its beautiful place of closeness to go and do a mission. But it said, Rebbe, I want to stay with you. I don't want to leave from the Rebbe. But the Rebbe says, you have a job, you have a role, you have a mission. You're going to become even greater. You're going to become somewhat of a Rebbe yourself when you go out there to this faraway place where other people are going to look to you to be the spiritual guide. He says, no, but I want to stay close with you. I want to be in a place where I'm safe. He says, yeah, but you're not going to grow that way. You've become somewhat dependent. You're not growing. You're not independent. I need you to go and be independent. And against the Neshama's will, the Neshama is sent out like an apprentice sent away from a master and is left totally alone. Like nowadays, it's not hard for the Shlichim. You know, they phone. They have internet. They can check up things. They can get guidance. Back in the day, when a rabbi went out to a faraway place, there was no phoning for advice. There was no, you know, now and then they would get a letter to some far out place, but they were on their own. You know, they had to make halachic decisions independently because they weren't able to, like, you know, middle of the day, just like check in with someone. They were totally alone. They became independent, and then they really grew. Then they developed who they were. Initially, mo'eset bo. אם כן, ודאי לא היה הבורא יצברך בריאה לתכלס שהוא נגד חוקה ונימס ממנו. It doesn't make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put something into the world which is totally against the nature of what thing, that thing is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't send an Neshama down just to suffer with no benefit. Any suffering there is in the world, there always has a long-term benefit. And if Hashem sent an Neshama down here, there is some benefit that we're going to be getting out of it. בריאותו של האדם מצבו לעולם הבא היא. The truth is that this world is just the world of preparing for the next world. Alkein nitna bo neshama zot, and that's why we were given such a high neshama. Ki la ra'ui la'avod, uva yuchal adam lekabel sachar b'makomo v'zmano. Because using that neshama, which is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, we're able to always check in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're doing the right thing. Mashal l'mahad avadome. Imagine that you're... Go back to the mashal of the game. I like the mashal of the game very much. Imagine you're playing a game and you were sent out, but they didn't give you instructions exactly what you're supposed to be doing in this game. But they gave you a walkie-talkie, and they said, whenever you get to a point where you're stuck, then, you know, phone, check in with us, and we'll give you a hint, we'll give you a clue, we'll give you some guidance, then you'll know what to do in the next round. So, you know, you start trying to figure it out by yourself, and you get stuck at some point, and you say, I don't know what to do. What do I do now? You go, oh, it's good I have this. You phone. You check in, and then the Pasuk says to do this, the Shulchan Aruch says to do this. You have inner Yashrus, which is sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which gives you guidance. And they say, okay, that's the next step. That's what I have to do. That's where I have to go in my next step in life. And they say, okay, now I can take the next step and you can move forward. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if He would not have given us such a high neshama, we would be in this world without a way of connecting back to Him. We would be totally floundering. We wouldn't be able to fulfill our mission. We wouldn't know what we're supposed to be doing here in this world. So He gave us the neshama in this world, which is the chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can always check in with Him. We can always check in. Sometimes we check in through Mesorah, where we look at the oral Torah, we look at the written Torah, through the oral Torah, we see what we need to do. And sometimes we check in with Him from a more inner place of what seems to me to be correct, and as long as I'm checking in with Das Torah, that's not just me, my Yetzahara, acting as a ventriloquist, but rather it's an inner Yashrus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, then I can sense that's what the Neshama is guiding me towards. I sense somewhat of guilt if I do the bad thing. I sense a feeling of goodness if I do a good thing. And that's guiding me through the Neshama, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, guiding me on the right path. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables us always to check back in with Him, to reconnect to Him. Shelo yeh devar nimas el nishmato kol hamazim. Ela adarabba ne'ehav ve'nechmadim minu. And then it transforms and turns the whole thing around, where this world becomes a world of pleasure. Because real pleasure comes from satisfaction of accomplishment. When you feel you have a project in front of you, a Rubik's Cube, and it's all messed up, and you don't know which way is the right way, and you sit there and we work it out. There's a great satisfaction of having solved the riddle. Because there was something, a mission that you had, and you needed to accomplish, and you accomplished it. That's on one level. That's on Rubik's Cube. And that ends pretty much, 5 minutes after you finish that. But when it's something spiritual, where you were given a mission to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you were sent down this world with a sense of a mission, so the neshama initially doesn't want to come. I don't want the challenge. I'm happy where I am. Everything's easy. But once the neshama comes in this world and recognizes what its mission is and recognizes that it has the guidelines and the tools of how to access it, it's actually very, very enjoyable for the neshama. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, Yafeh sha'achat shel tshuva u'ma'asim tovim mikol chaya olam haba. The neshama didn't want to come down to begin with. But once it comes down and it understands Torah and it has direction and it knows how to do tshuva and ma'asim tovim, like it knows what its mission is and it's accomplishing its mission, then the neshama gets more pleasure from that than where it was in Olam Haba, where it was just stuck and not able to progress and feel accomplished. So a person who feels depressed, it's often because they're not in tune with what their mission is and they're not fulfilling their mission. They're not in tune with their neshama and understanding what their neshama's role is. And therefore they feel like, what am I doing here? Like I feel like I have so much potential, but I'm not doing anything with it. And I feel frustrated and I feel stuck. That's where a person can get depressed. But when a person's aware of his mission, and then he's learning Torah, and he's davening, and he's doing mitzvahs, and he's doing tshuva, and he feels, I'm in line with what my mission is. And he starts to feel more and more accomplished. That's when you see that person in the base medrash really enjoying his Torah learning, because he says, I'm on the right path. And it doesn't matter how advanced you are in learning for this. A person could be very advanced and making good, great chidushim. Or alternatively, a person could be very hard in learning and very stuck, but he's feeling accomplishment of pushing through despite the challenge. Either way, the fact that you sense I have a mission and I'm fulfilling my mission in this world gives a sense of deep satisfaction and accomplishment because it's answering the reason why the neshama came down here. That's what it means in Pirkei Avos, tshuva and ma'asim tovim. If you're doing your mission of coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu and acting in this world in a way in line with Hashem, then your neshama is feeling, that's what I was here for. And that's more enjoyable for the neshama than being in the next world. He didn't think that initially. When the neshama was being sent down, he says, no, I don't want it. I'd rather have the safety and the satisfaction of being close to Hashem without growth. But once the neshama gets here and sees that it's advancing and accomplishing and doing its mission, then the neshama is very happy it was sent. Because now it's reaching a high level than it otherwise would have. Vihine, new point. Achar sheyadanu zeh, now that we've understood this concept, Navin, we can contemplate, miad, chomer mitzvot, asher aleinu, we can understand the great value of the mitzvahs. Until now, the mitzvahs could, chas v'shalom, seem arbitrary. Why does God need me to do this and this? He can't manage without me doing this and this. What does God need it for? He's infinite. What makes a difference to Him if I do this act or that act in this way or that way? What does it make a difference? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, I don't know if it makes a difference. I don't think He needs the mitzvah for Him. It's not like Shlomo HaMelech, who sent out to have servants come down so those servants could work and build him the Beis HaMikdash. And he's not going to sit there and build the whole Beis HaMikdash himself. It's a big job and needs many people to do it. So he needs the servants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need the mitzvah. There's no like end building that we're building here, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs. And therefore he needs our mitzvah. So we're all slaves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get that building done. Pharaoh had that model, where he wanted to build things or enslave. And therefore he had the model of we need to build something for the sake of the end building. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for his sake, doesn't need the mitzvahs. What is this value? What is the greatness? What is the strength of these mitzvahs? V'yikar ha'avoda, meaning even if it's not mitzvah, but it's other areas of avodas Hashem. Could be even in areas of rishus, things which are not a mitzvah, but you're using them in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher b'yadeinu, that we now have, and it's in our hands. B'yadeinu, it's in our hands. Hashem's given it over to us. We can now understand how precious it is, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. And how our enthusiasm towards mitzvot and avodat Hashem in general is going to help our neshama feel the satisfaction of its mission in this world and feel vitality of being alive, of this is why I came to do this job and I'm doing it and I'm doing it well and I'm happy, I'm satisfied. The neshama is satisfied because it's fulfilling its mission. כי הנה אלה הם האמצעים המביאים אותנו על שלמוס אמיתי, אשר בלעדם לא יושג כלל. It would be extremely frustrating to be given a game, be locked in a room for 2 hours to play the game, and not have the instructions. Like, what do? I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. That's not so much fun. I don't think that would be the game. Maybe this. What is this piece doing? It's extremely frustrating to be in the world, to know you have a mission, have a sense that I'm here for a mission, and have no clue what your mission is. What does God want from me? I have no idea. So what should I do? I try and figure it out. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe something else. It's very frustrating. When you know you have power and you have energy, you don't know how to express it. And it's very frustrating when you started expressing it in one way and you're not sure it's the right way. You say, maybe this is all a big mistake. Right? Like, let's say you have to deliver a package. And they say, which family is it? Family so-and-so. Where do they live? On the 16th floor. And there's no elevator. There's no lift. So which building? It's either this one or this one or this one. Or this one. So I have to walk up 16 floors. Look, I'm willing to walk up 16 floors if you tell me that I'm going to be doing a good deed. And there's a family there who are going to be receiving a package for Shabbos, and it's going to help them, and they're going to be happy. But tell me it's the right building. I don't want to be walking up every step, 16 stories. Maybe I'm going to have to do this again, and again, and again, and again. Like, if I know it's the right one, I'm happy to invest, and it's hard for me, it's hard. But I'm willing to do it, because I know I'm going to be more satisfied that I'm doing a mission, and it's a good job I'm doing. But just let me know that this is the right one, so that I can feel like I'm doing a good job. Otherwise, like, the whole time, is this the right one? I'm not sure. Maybe this is all for nothing. It's very frustrating to be in a situation where you're putting in effort and you're not even sure you're going to be satisfied by it because it might be totally wrong, totally off. And that's the great value of the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Hashem didn't want us to be in a world where it was guesswork to understand how to come close to Him. He's giving us the mission to connect to Him, and of course He's going to give us the means of how to do that. That's why the mitzvot are so precious to us, because He's given clear direction of how to connect to Him. You know, my heart goes out to the Kuzari. Everyone who's read even just the opening chapter of the Kuzari, he writes there that he has a desire to come close to Hashem, but has no idea how to. So he speaks to the philosophers, and he speaks to the Christians, and he speaks to the Muslims. And eventually, he doesn't find any logic behind those three. So then he says, let me try the Jew, is his last option for him. And in the beginning, he's like rejecting everything the Jew says. But then as the Jew explains more and more and more about Jewish belief, he says, this is starting to make sense. And somewhere through the book, he switches around from being against the Jew to like believing what the Jew is saying, just questioning to understand it in more depth. My heart goes out to him. There are so many people out there in the world, even in amongst the Jewish people. I would say the majority of Jews in the world are in this description that we just gave now. They're looking for more, they're looking for meaning. And you know, even in religious Jewry, there are so many Jews who are looking for more meaning and looking for more connection, but they don't feel they have the means of how to get there. And they're just feeling frustrated. Who am I? What's my purpose? What's my mission? What's meaning? And in a good case scenario, they keep looking. And in a bad case scenario, they just give up. And they say, okay, I don't know what it is. And they just say, okay, so I'll just enjoy the world. And they just like focus more on physical pleasures. Not because they want that. Not because they're like, it's an ideal for them. But just because it's not clear to them how Torah answers the need of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they try a little bit this way. That way they give up. Or they keep looking. But they keep looking and looking. And the Mesillas Yesharim is telling us here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not abandon us to a world where He gives us the need to connect to Him, the inner need to connect to Him on a high level, and then abandon us to have no idea how to do that. But rather, He gives us the mitzvahs, and that's how precious they are. Hamevi'im otanu el ha-shleimus amiti. Because that brings us to the real shleimus. I mean, there's a shleimus which is not amiti. All the physical world, you feel a sense of shleimus, but it's not amiti because it doesn't last. When you finish the Rubik's Cube, it's a shleimus for a moment. Oh, I did it. Perfect. It's perfect. Shleimus. Then what do you do now? I don't know. I finished that. I have to do something else. It's shleimus, but it's not amiti because it doesn't last very long. It only lasts as long as you're involved in it. The mitzvot are shleimus amiti. Asher bil adam, and if you try and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu without the mitzvahs, I have my way of connecting to Hashem. I have my own unique way. Lo yusakla. I once went to a shul many, many, many years ago. And it was Friday night. And after davening, everyone was going to shake the rabbi's hand. So this guy standing in front of me, he wasn't a typical shul goer by his dress at least. He said to the rabbi, Rabbi, don't be offended if I don't come tomorrow. So I said, I won't be offended, but why? Where are you going to be? So he's saying, I need to meditate. That's my way of connecting to God. I'm going to go to the park and I'm going to sit in the park and I'm just going to commune with God. And the rabbi said, tomorrow in shul, there's also there's like Kriyas HaTorah, and that's like hearing God's word. He said, this is the way I do it, Rabbi. This is my way. So yeah, his inner will is very true. It's very true. It's very pure. He has the inner desire to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Bil Adam Lo Yusag Klal. If you're not doing it in Hashem's way, you're not going to get there. He'll connect to his version of God. That's not Hashem. That's all, you know, he's creating his own mini religion. Maybe it incorporates a lot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but as long as he's doing his own thing, it's his own thing. Similar to what the Jews did at the Egel Azav. They said, we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we wanted to do it our way, not his way, our way. This is our way of doing it. If it's not, if you're not doing Hashem's way, it's not Hashem. It's something else you're connecting to. Ve'ulam yadua ki eina tachlis magia ela mikoch kibbutz kol ha'emtzayim asher nimtzu. It's impossible to get to the end goal unless you have all of the means and you gather them all together. Asher shimshu lahagio, which Hashem designed for you to reach there. Ukefi koach ha'emtzayim v'shimusham. We'll just give a mashal on this point and then we'll continue from here. Mashal ma'adav adome. A person buys a computer. But they're one of these, you know, people who don't like to buy a ready-made computer. They want to make it themselves. So they buy all the parts. And they put it together. Or they buy the whole computer. They say, I'm not going to let them buy it for me. I'll take the whole thing apart and I'll put it back together my own way because I want to see how it all works. So take the whole computer, they buy a computer, take the whole thing apart, understand each part, each element, how it all works. They're enjoying themselves, having so much fun, they're understanding all the inner workings. And they start putting it all together. Doesn't work. Wait a minute, I put it all back together. Doesn't work. Do you know how much that computer cost? I took it together, I put it back together. It's not working. Why is it not working? I did everything as it was originally. What's missing? So there's a piece of wire which is 0.001 millimeter long, which somehow got cut, and when he put it back in, it didn't reach. And the power button just is not starting, because everything goes from there. Oh, please, Rabbi, please, 0.0001 millimeter, please. Do you know, this computer has 99.999% working. So it's working. What are you making a fuss about, a 0.0001%? I'm not making a fuss. You go use it. It doesn't work. Okay, so I guess 0.001 does make a difference. But why? But I have all the other parts. Yeah, but it works in unity. It's one unit that works with all the parts together. A bit like Yavamas, where you can't understand much of what's going on in Yavamas until you've learned all of Yavamas and you have to go back and fit in all the parts to make it make sense. It's a macro model. It all works in harmony. It's one unit. So it won't work without it. So you have to be investing in every element. Now I want to take a step back from this. This is not fully true in an extreme whereby if a person does mitzvahs and doesn't do another mitzvah, so they have no reward. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give reward for every effort that you put in. And if a person's held back from doing a particular mitzvah, then he's not held accountable for that. He'll still be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, regarding Geirus, it says that if a person says, I will convert on condition that I will accept every element of Yiddishkeit except for one mitzvah, even except for one derabbanan, we don't accept him. Why not? He's taking 99.999% of the religion. What, no, but not. Believe me, there are many religious Jews who don't do everything. Well, they're Jewish. So why can't he do everything except for that 0.01%? Because there's two different questions. There's one question of how much you were able to do. And according to the amount that you're able to do, that's how much reward you'll get. And there's another question of, do you believe fully that this is connecting you to Hashem or not? Are you in or are you not in? Are you facing Hashem or are you not facing Hashem? If a person says, I'll accept 99.999%, then what's he saying, Be'etzem? He's saying it's on my terms. It's on my terms. If it makes sense to me, I'll do it. And it happens to me, it works out quite well, that 99.99% of what Judaism says, I happen to agree with, so I'm happy to take it on. But what about the 0.01%? That doesn't suit me. So it's not just that you're doing 99.9%, you're not doing anything. Because from a Hashkafic perspective, you're not doing it for the sake of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing it for yourself. It happens to be that it aligns, so that's very good. So that's the difference between those two points. On the one hand, we're saying, you have to have the full investment. You have to be fully faced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And only if you accept mitzvahs conceptually, as I'm doing the will of Hashem in the full perspective, then you're going to be able to use to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're doing 99.9% of the mitzvah, but you refuse to do one, you disagree with that, then even the other mitzvahs that you're doing, you're not doing to connect to Hashem. You're doing them because they happen to suit you for many other reasons. So maybe you will get reward for having done the mitzvah, but if our goal is to connect to Hashem, having shleimus, that you won't get. Because you're doing the mitzvah for another reason. So it's lo lishma. So you'll get reward, but you won't feel close to Hashem from it. So even if it's true that a person technically won't be able to do many of the mitzvahs, that won't hold him back. He's anus. But a person's mindset has to be that I'm doing all the mitzvah for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch. So what we learned today was that we were created for our purpose in the next world. Our neshama will never be satisfied from anything that you give it in this world. Any pleasures that you have in this world will always answer the need on a very short-term basis, but as long as that need passes, the neshama won't be satisfied. The neshama initially doesn't want to come to this world because it doesn't see that it's a certainty that it will be successful. And it looks like it's a drop from the closest to Hashem. But once the neshama gets this world and sees that you're involved in tshuva and mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, and you're on the right path, the satisfaction that the neshama feels of accomplishing its mission, of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives the neshama the sense of, thank God I came down to this world because I'm doing my mission in the correct way. And Hashem's not abandoning us. He's going to give us very clear instructions of how to come close to Him. He's not leaving us to try and figure out on our own. There's very clear guidelines. But from our side, we have to be fully committed. 100% committed. I'm doing it for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we go in with that mindset, I'm doing it fully for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will in our lives feel the satisfaction of the neshama. We'll feel the closeness with Hashem. Because we're doing it for the reason why we were created, to have close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yishar koach. Aaron, are you sending me the voucher? You sending it already? Okay, I didn't check my email.